Hey, so we're leaving the coffee shop. We're going to Siberia. This is Highway Diary, episode 159 with Xander Bielik right now.
Oh, hi.
How's it going, Xander?
It's going. Just got out of work. Hooray.
Hooray. We're all working and we're living the dream. We're running to a comedy show, you know. I've known you for a long time now. A year and a half or so. You're from Minnesota. You're a poet, and then you're a comic. You do a lot of poetry slams. What's the difference between doing you know what I mean?
I don't do poetry slams. I have done poetry slams. I do poetry. I read poetry. So slam is kind of a specific kind of
okay,
genre.
Well, you write poetry.
Yeah.
Sure. How do you express yourself, Xander?
How do I, you know, it's just, it's kind of taking a, just, you know, absurdities you see and putting it, you know, seeing kind of like a, you know, when it sounds good to say it, you know, putting these weird kind of juxtapositions of kind of like, I like to think like in terms of black and white and red all over, that kind of like contrast.
Did you have a crazy childhood growing up?
Yeah. Just a little bit. I was in the
what
country, kind of isolated.
I had
goats.
You had goats?
Yeah, I had goats. They were twin sisters and lesbians, and they never knew the existence of other goats in the world. But they were wonderful pets. They lived to be old goats.
So did you slaughter any animals on this farm?
No. We were... I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah?
But I think that's why. It's because growing up on the farm, had too many pets, you know? Mm-hmm. Never ate anything.
So was your first sexual experience with a human or a goat?
Human.
Of what gender?
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yeah. Yeah. My first... Oh, lordy. Yeah, no, like, playing Truth or Dare when I was 10, probably. Yeah.
And then, so, who dared what? What happened?
Oh, it's my friend Tony dared me to let him give me a blowjob, because he's really good at that game.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. All right.
And I let him do it for, like, a second.
How long is that?
Like he put his mouth on my penis, and I was like, okay, blowjob over. I was faking it.
Yeah? All right. You do stand-up.
Yeah.
You do poetry.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I heard recently you were hit by a bicycle.
On my bicycle.
You were hit on a bicycle.
by a car door. Biking down St. Claude. Someone opening their door just like sent me flying out into the street, and I'd already had a broken arm at that point.
From what?
I fell off a hoverboard.
You fell off a hoverboard?
A hoverboard, yeah, those two wheel things. So.
Oh, so the ones that you it's like a scooter, electric scooter, and
yeah, it looks like a Segway without like the handle.
Sure. And you broke your arm?
I broke my arm,
and
yeah.
So then you were riding a bike, you know? Because it's like the struggle's real. Hey, I got to make rent. I got to go to the coffee shop. I got to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I was working at a restaurant then. But, I landed on my good arm. And somehow, like, 2 seconds on a hoverboard, I go, not even a second. Like, I stepped on the thing, and I go flying off and you know, end up with a broken arm. But then I go fucking flying out into traffic on my bicycle, and I'm just a bloody mess and totally fine, you know? No broken bones there. It's weird. I made it to work, and I had to call inside and tell them to come up and put band-aids on me.
You also recently had a seizure. Do you think that was related?
No. I don't know if it was a seizure. I had a attack. Like my body went numb, and my hands kind of clenched up, and I couldn't move them. It like turned into claws, and my heart rate was like 160 or something insane, like, and I had to call an ambulance without the use of my fingers.
And you were just at your house and then you just passed out?
Yeah, no, I didn't pass out. I was able to call an ambulance, but mm-hmm. I was just smoking a cigarette. And then, yeah, I don't know. It might have been drugs related.
Interesting. Rumors.
Rumors,
it's a big accusation.
No, I mean, I wasn't doing drugs at the time, but I had done them before.
Right. It's hard to know when you're coming off of something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who to call.
It was not what the substance I thought I was taking.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. I was Uber driving the other day, and someone, they were like, hey, do you want a tip? And I was like, that's an interesting offer. And they were like, it's an Adderall, you know, but it's a loose pocket Adderall. And I was like, interesting, I've never been prescribed that, you know. Am I admitting to a serious crime now? Anyway, I took it, and then I did, like, good business. Anyway, next question. So, you know what I mean? Some things are actually very helpful.
Like, the Adderall was in his pocket, just kind of loose?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I keep... That's all right.
But that, I think we have to actually drive a little further. We're not quite there.
I weed.
Huh?
Yeah.
Let's drive a little closer to Siberia here. Okay. Oh, what's this person doing?
Funny thing about this neutral ground we were on, first time we came to New Orleans, I was sitting
behind
there.
Us.
Yeah.
That's what's fucked up.
First time I came to New Orleans, I was sitting on the neutral ground, and I turned my head, and there were people having sex.
On the neutral ground?
On the neutral ground.
During Decadence Fest?
Well,
I actually saw some lady giving a man a blowjob behind the telephone pole on Rampart. I'm not sure what bar it is. It's not Voodoo, but it's like up from Voodoo Lounge a little bit. And I was driving by, and my Uber passengers were like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, what? And I turn around, and then there's like some lady giving a homie a blowjob, you know, like a gutter punk scenario, you know, punk on punk action. But I was like, damn, you know?
Have any sex during Decadence. Just kidding.
You recently, can we talk about this? You recently got out of a relationship and then Decadence Fest happened.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that came up.
How'd you do?
Well, you know, I was cautious, you know, because I just started taking prep, but I started immediately after Decadence, so I still had like 1 weekend left where I had to be super careful.
What's PrEP?
PrEP is a pill that makes it so you can't contract HIV.
Oh, okay.
It's a daily pill. It's like gay birth control.
Yeah. And so then you were... Have you got a post-Decadence Fest STD test?
Oh, yeah. No, I go in all the time. They make you get checked all the time once mm-hmm. you're doing the PrEP labs or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Everything clean? You're good?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
You know, just... I was driving around, you know? And there's something called the Phoenix Bar. And during Decadence Fest, they were like, oh, there's... I kept hearing all my passengers. They're like, there's a blowjob party happening on the second floor of the Decadence. Bar.
That's every weekend. That's
all right. You know, this is the first I hear of it. Yeah. They're like, yo, there's a blowjob party. It's super going down right now at Decadence Festival on the second floor of the Phoenix Bar. And I was like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a straight person, but like... You're saying, like, day one of being gay is, like, blowjob party. It's like, whoa. You know what I mean? It was confusing to me.
I was really nervous to go up there. I was, you know, like, I'm kind of shy guy. So mm-hmm. I had to get my lesbian friends to take me up there. But it's no girls allowed.
Oh.
So they got kicked out. So, like,
boys club.
I wanted them to come back just, like, stacked on top of each other wearing a trench coat.
Scooby-Doo style.
Yeah.
Do you think they would get in?
Or it's, Rugrats. No, not Rugrats. What are those fucking little short kids called?
Children? Midgets?
No, like that show, Alfalfa or whatever.
Hey Arnold?
No. Like the old school show.
Oh, Little Rascals?
Little Rascals, yeah. That one.
DC Paul walking in with a Christmas sweater on.
Dude, do we have to get in there? and sign up?
I guess so. Yeah, I think we should do that at some point. All right, let's sign up to the list at Siberia. More with Xander Bilek as we continue. Bye. Week two.
Hey,
Xander Bilek.
What's up?
We had an interesting week last week.
Yeah.
You came over to my house after. I did. Performed a little voodoo with my girlfriend, you know.
Yeah. What's it? Voodoo.
What'd you do?
Witchcraft.
Yeah?
None specific.
Can I tell you what I remember from the ritual that you did? You said, let our differences not be things that annoy us. Let our differences lead to greater understanding.
I was so stoned.
That was fun, though. We had some pasta. We had a good old time, huh?
Yeah. Good. Smoked something.
We smoked some weed together. Yeah, yeah. We had a good time.
Beers.
We had some Stella.
Yep. Some salad. I cut the avocados.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, that was fun with the lady. How's your love life going, Xander? I mean, when we first met, I met here, and I saw you came over with your boyfriend loads of times. I kind of saw the dynamic there, you know. We both, maybe 6 months ago, maybe 5 months ago, we both kind of went through breakups.
Yeah.
You with that dude, me with my lady, kind of catching the rebound. So where, you alluded that you were just slutting it up recently.
Yeah, I'm on my slut return. I mean, I can't, you know, like, in my brain, because I went from one relationship to another, like, back to back, like, pretty long term as far as, like, my relationship history is concerned. It was, like, one for 8 months and then the next for a year. So I'm giving myself, like, I hadn't been single in New Orleans before, so.
Yeah.
I'm giving myself, like, 6 months. Of
just hardcore pound town?
Yeah.
How's that been going?
Oh, it's easy.
But do you get, like, worked up? Do you get, like, attached to people? Are you ever like, oh, well, maybe this could lead to... Do you have, like, these jealous moments if you hook up with someone and then you see them with somebody else?
I'm usually, like, the first person to get, like, attached, and I try not to be, but, like, right now I'm just in that mindset where I don't even have the emotional space for it. So I'm... Yeah, no, anytime someone, like, wants to hang out in a more, like, intimate kind of date setting, I've been running.
Yeah. Interesting. Did you talked on stage before about, like, your first sexual experiences were with, like, was it relatives or just neighborhood people?
No.
Not
like,
relatives.
My friend, plain truth or dare when you're 10, like, kid sex, you know, like, put your penis on to dare you to touch wieners together, you know? Like, I figure everyone does that. I don't know. Is that not a... Isn't that... You didn't...
Touch wieners?
Yeah.
No, that, I really didn't go through that.
Really?
If I'm honest.
You were at the wrong party.
Sorry, I didn't show up.
My parties were wild.
I know, right? And you grew up in Minnesota, Minneapolis?
Yeah, rural Minnesota, yeah.
Nothing to do except you're staring at a fire, you're bunkered in, it's snowing outside, let's touch wieners.
Yeah.
That's how that went. Then you kind of got into poetry. The pee-pee touch.
Yeah. I was, like, right after high school, I was a theater major for, like, a second. My best friend passed away, I dropped out of school. Just kind of...
In high school you dropped out?
No, college.
Oh,
right after high school. So I was a theater major at the University of Minnesota for like a second.
Your first semester your friend died?
Yeah. And so I just left, kind of like just got my own apartment for the first time and did the punk rock thing for a few years, went to school.
Was it like an overdose or what happened?
Oh, no, she had cystic fibrosis.
Is that a lung thing?
Yeah.
Okay. She just coughed and couldn't breathe and died?
It was like a lifelong kind of like battle. Yeah, the medication caused
cirrhosis of the liver. Went into a coma after that. So we're doing this comedy podcast that's funny.
Well, you know, no, it's real. It's yeah. real. So whatever we're talking about is...
Yeah, no, so I went to then I went to school for audio production. I got my major, but I, like, my last semester took a poetry class, and I really kind of flew with that and ended up going back and getting a degree in creative writing. And then during my creative writing degree, I started doing theater again and was, like, a lead in different school plays. When I wasn't a theater major, and then the directors would always be like, how come you're in this play and you haven't taken my class yet? I'm like, you cast me. I didn't, like...
yeah, maybe I'm better than all your fucking
I'm not a theater major. I'm just pretending to be one. That makes me, like, the best theater major.
Yeah, right? Because it's not... It's lower stakes for you. You walk in like you already got the part, and you did. You're sure? You got an owl shirt now.
It's Buddha.
It's Buddha?
Mm-hmm. There's dogs in this
room. I know, right?
Oops, the clown has their... Burlesque dog. So you tell me more about your witchcraft history. What, did you have a grandma that taught you witchcraft? Where did this? Where's the lineage of your?
It's just always been like a natural, not like a taught thing by any means. Like kind of a. I think I knew since I was a kid. I'd always say I was a witch. You know, like 5 year old, I was like, I'm a witch.
So what is
like
it?
Like a very like matriarchal family though, so it's like definitely kind of like non-spoken in my family, but it's definitely there, you know.
So is it like a sixth sense? Did you ever have a moment where you predicted something that, or you just knew something would happen and it came?
Yeah,
through?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you describe any of those moments?
No, it's bad. Like, no, I don't know. Well, like to specifically say, I don't know, or like. I would say something, you know, not, like, I would say something that's going to happen, and it would, you know. I definitely knew that, I would know, like, if my pets were going to die, or if someone was going to show up at the house. Kind of like, I feel like I healed a bird one time, I don't know. Memories from like being a kid and having that kind of stuff, like you don't know like what's real. I remember being like really young and seeing like a kind of like a spirit presence like outside the car window with this like glowing radiant form. And I remember seeing when my grandmother passed away when I was 3, I remember her presence very, very distinctly, you know.
Like her soul leaving her body? Yeah. Like that moment that happened,
you felt.
What about your friend from college? What did that kind of fracture you metaphysically when that happened?
It was one of those things where it took like a long. I mean, she was my friend from high school. We weren't in college together, but we were very spiritually connected, and we definitely practiced magic together. And when she passed away, I stopped going to school, and I was like at home at my parents' house and just like crying for days, and then one day I had a dream that she was sitting with me and we were at the piano and I was playing the piano for her, and it was a song I used to play for her. And then when I woke up, her necklace was on my pillow and just appeared. So she just kind of always became kind of my guardian angel after that reassurance.
She became your guardian, so you still feel her presence around in certain moments of your life?
Yeah.
And what did she tell you?
She tells me I'm stupid, like, you know, very wonderful sense of humor. And, I mean, my brother had a similar experience with her, because he was very close to her, too, where he said that he woke up to her phone call one day after she passed. She was calling him stupid.
Like it read on his phone, like from... her?
Like, he says he answered the phone and it was her, you know?
Whoa. Like the house landline?
His, like, I think he lived at my parents' house, but he had his own phone line.
So when you intuit stuff now, is she like the voice in your head that intuits?
No, not really.
Does it just come out in like painful moments or something, or only manifest when you like need a?
Yeah, I mean she's like a friend I would turn to, like I would turn to any friend, I guess. You know, like if I can ask for help or. Advice, but it's not, you know, she's not the only place that energy comes from, really.
Some heavy shit, bud.
Wow.
So you were telling me that you were thinking about grad school, you were thinking about different things, looking into the new school. Do you kind of see that for yourself right now, or where's your head at?
Yes, I mean, I started looking at like programs today again. I keep like saying I'm going to, then I don't. So I figure if I'm on the fence, should I really do it?
I'll tell you, it's been like hard as fuck. I mean, like it's not easy, man.
Yeah. I don't like.
I have my last final on Thursday. And it's a big, you know, the thing with me and relationships and stuff like that, like, I have this weird, like, OCD or maybe this neediness or this fucking, but it's like every human needs love in their life. So I just need to know that that's cool. And if everything's cool with the lady, then I'm like, okay, cool. I can do anything.
Yeah.
But if there's weirdness, it's just like, it throws my whole shit off, you know, everything in my life.
Yeah, I just figured out for myself that I need to be the opposite. That like for so long I was like that, where I like wanted that relationship first, and then from there I would figure out what I want to do, and it's always turned into something that prevents me from doing what I need to be doing, and then
yeah.
So now I'm more focused.
I'm trying to figure out the balance, but when I first came here, you know, it was like a few little things, a few exchange students, you know. And then I met that girl that you knew about, and then this new one. But it's like, I think I always do better. I'm always happier when that's good. Everything's cool. I know I'm going to see them, like, even if it's like a week from now. Okay, I can get through anything. I can Uber. I can do my studying if I know I'll see that person on that day. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I need to know that that's cool. Everything's gravy. And then I'll see them then. And then I can do... Then I can do the hard work. But it's very... I went through periods where I was, like, fucking beyond the pale of stressed with school. I had to do so much homework. I had no motivation to do it. I was miserable. Maybe I hit on some girl at a bar and she said, get the fuck away from me. And I'd be crying. You know, like, I'm such a fucking pussy sometimes. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think my parents had this very weird, both abusive and codependent relationship for me to model myself after. And maybe I need to do more witchcraft with candles and shit.
Same with my parents. I mean, they have definitely grown to old, you know, like... constantly at each other's throats, but...
How were they? How were you raised? What were your parents like, Sandra?
So they were Catholic.
Me too.
Uh-huh.
Do you go to church? You get confirmed?
I got confirmed, yeah.
When you were how old? 16?
Good at it. 14.
Whoa.
14 or 15, probably. That'd be 14. Because, you know, I was definitely full-fledged, like, witchcraft.
On the side?
I went through the confirmation
thing. Speak this way.
I went through the confirmation thing, like, because I got, like, a Nintendo 64 out of the deal. Like, that was...
Oh. They bribed you.
Well, my confirmation sponsor gave it to me, but...
That's a good bribe.
Like, I don't know. It was a lot of, like, you know, just do it for the family. I'm like, just do it for the family.
Like, I'm a goddamn witch. Yeah, I worship Satan.
I don't worship Satan. But, well, that too. But,
you dabble. We all dabble. So how were your parents? What was their relationship dynamic? They were fighting all the time?
I mean, they're... Yeah, that, like, fight lots, but that codependent, unconditional love kind of...
permeated.
Strong unit. They just... We just grew up... I don't know. And it's not, like, hostile fighting. It's not scary fighting. We just, like, grew up really vocal, like... family with a lot of strong personalities that like to scream at each other a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of the peacekeeper, but I would still have my, you know, my fuse had its limits too.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I was the peacekeeper, but like my fuse had its limits too. I was, you know, probably just his head. You know,
yeah.
Not your more fuse. So, but more.
What was that? You would get between your parents fighting and you would go like, okay, oh, no, listen.
I don't care about that. I'd be like... but like, just, I mean, relationships between like my siblings and my parents and my siblings and each other. And, I mean, my older brother and I never got along, but I was kind of like the second oldest. So I was like the barrier between my kind of aggressive older brother and my little brothers.
So you're a middle brother?
Yeah, I'm a second.
Out of three?
Four.
Okay. So what was it? Was it stressful to, like, for your dad to, like, provide for the family? Was that how it worked? And then...
Well, I mean, just growing up, I guess, like, both my parents were in grad school, and it was...
To be what?
What's it?
What'd they study?
So my mother's a nurse practitioner in geriatrics, and my father is administrator of online education at a university, and so education and doctor stuff, nursing stuff,
yeah,
medicine.
So you think that they should have waited till after school maybe to have a family?
They have like four kids? I don't know. My mother was very ambitious with her life plan from early on. When she met my father, she was still in high school. She took extra classes so she could graduate early. She was older. They met at the Winnipeg Folk Festival.
The Winnipeg Pork Festival?
Folk Festival. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We saw Odetta. And...
What a sexy place to meet.
Little
folk music. Like, hey, what's up? It's a renaissance. Let's just fuck when we're 16.
Winnipeg
Let's get
folk
married.
Festival is pretty sexy. I mean, it's cool. It's cool.
There's a lot of Canadians around.
Ew.
Ew.
Well, my dad was from Toronto, and my mother was from Stillwater, but...
She was from where? Up...
Like Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Or like Oklahoma originally.
Was there any discussion whether you guys would be Canucks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's like...
Do you have dual citizenship?
I do. I just need to get my Canadian passport, but I'm, yeah, qualified dual citizen. No, there was discussion. It was my grandmother got sick, so we moved back to... So... Yeah, my mother's mother had cancer, so, like, from just starting my life, you know, like, from when I was born until I was three, my mother was her caregiver, so that's probably the only reason we really took root in the States instead of Canada.
Oh, because your mom had nursing skills, so she could...
She was the caregiver, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Ugh. I think I'm a bad son sometimes. I mean.
Oh, like would I be a caregiver if my parents were sick? Yeah. I mean, but I wouldn't be the first choice. I got three brothers, Joey.
Why is that? Because they would interfere with your slut phase?
No. I wouldn't be the first choice because I have a brother who's in the healthcare industry. But
oh, okay.
So he gets
to, you're like, I'm doing drugs in New Orleans. And then my slut phase.
And I have another brother who like still lives at home, so like he's stuck with it.
You know? Right.
Like, I think I'd move back to Minnesota. I wouldn't move it like home.
So what is the impulse of doing stand-up? Do you feel like you... I think I maybe have this part of myself where I never feel like I was heard. My mom was kind of like... would literally tune out when you were talking to her all the time. She wasn't, like, interested. And I feel like maybe... that's where the impulse comes. Like, I feel like I was never fully heard.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
I do see that, I guess, in myself, that I think feel like people don't listen to me a lot, and I like having that time where y'all gotta shut up. But
it's like my turn to talk, just like a social anxiety where, if you're in a party and it's like, oh, there's like 18 people and one person is kind of holding court, and you maybe think you're funnier than that person, and they're berating everybody with the conversation.
Yeah, but they have that kind of like ego and that like pushy bully kind of thing where you don't even.
Yeah, where it's like they just
you don't bother with like the, and you know you have a lot to say. I mean, I don't know that I don't know if that's the attraction or like at least in my brain why I just like the performance of like storytelling and that like kind of like energy back and forth between like an audience and a performer that's like it, you know, like I see it more like a metaphysical kind of like get into like a kind of wavelength together, and
yeah,
it doesn't always work, but
alright, well, the show just started, we're both gonna perform and record our sets, and then we'll record a little bit after as well. Alright,
so if you like this comedy, don't shake his hands, everybody. Just gonna give him a high five. Give it up for Eric Hollerback, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. Disrespectful. I just got thrown right under the bus. Right. Who wants a hand job? Anybody?
Woo, me.
Anyone want to get finger blasted with these mutt hands?
Double me.
Oh. All right, cool. I got a customer. I'm worried about the future. Well, who knows what's going on, you know? We got a sociopath as president. Science keeps evolving, you know? We're going to have human cloning soon. You guys realize this? Human cloning, they're working on it.
Already happened.
I know, right? In an underground laboratory, we'll never hear about it. But what happens if they clone, like, Lincoln? Is he going to run another term? He's got good prestige. You know? Third term? What if they make like 70 Lincoln clones, you know? And one comes out and he comes out the beaker, he's covered in goo, and he stabs the doctor. Right? Are they gonna jail that one Lincoln, or are they gonna ban the whole DNA strain? But then they'll be like, well, Lincoln was assassinated, so maybe he's got PTSD. Maybe he's all fucked up. He's just like, four theater, what? Stab. But you could do, you know, cloning makes everything, like, up for grabs, you know? You can have, like, 13 Lincoln clones and have, like, one Lincoln have, like, a dating show where he picks from 12 other Lincolns who he's going to fuck in the face for the rest of his life, you know? He gives out roses or muskets, whatever. He's like, that Lincoln was pretty cute, but the other Lincoln doesn't breathe, I don't know, you know? See, like, the biodiversity of Lincoln. I don't know. Maybe all the clones are different. What if they make like Teddy Roosevelt again, you know? He was a strapping man back in his 20s. He was a rough rider, you know? He comes out, he's all handsome, and Hillary Clinton is like, damn, you know? And all of a sudden we got Roosevelt fucking Hillary Clinton. She has her first like straight sexual experience since college, you know? With Roosevelt. There go the tabloids, you know? We could have like a whole army of like Keanu Reeves, you know? just fight fuck a whole army of Michelle Gondry. I don't know. Like, anything can happen. What is marriage anymore when you have clones? It's like, I'll take A to U, you know? I don't know. That's what's going on. This is weird.
You're working at a coffee shop. It's the most unnecessary freaking thing in the world. Like, I've been to people's houses where they live, right? And have their stuff. And you all have coffee, like I've seen it. Like, my job doesn't need to exist. Like, I guess there's some people like, oh, I forgot to make coffee, and I'm going to grab one on the way to work. And then other than that, there's only two types of people.
It's called charming wit.
There's like students who, they want to take their laptops out to the public to do their work, otherwise they're just going to watch porn. And like, I get that, like, y'all are great, you kidding me, it's charming, it's absolutely good customers, but we sell ice cream and coffee drinks, and so the other type of people are people that are like, well, I just worked real hard today, and I guess I just deserve a little treat for myself, you know? And it's not fun. It's never easy. It's these people. First, they need to ask a lot of questions about stuff. And I think it's because they, you know, it's just part of the whole experience. The whole thing is to just ask a bunch of questions and annoy me and take up time for the people behind them. So you can get people to come in and order oolong tea, and they see like they look at the list of teas. Oh, is jade oolong the only type of oolong tea you have? When you look at the list of teas, no, we have this secret list of teas. Customers know the better oolong.
Yes,
jade oolong is the only oolong tea we have. Yeah. Well, like, well, is it good? When you look at me, do you just see like a connoisseur oolong teas. Like, I didn't have to pass like oolong tea certification at this job. I mean, maybe I forgot I lied about it on my resume, but like, really, like, I put the drink in the cup, you put the tip in the jar, that's it. I don't know what oolong means. I don't know what that is. It's not a thing. Yeah, is there ice cream? People come in and ask, is there bluebell ice cream? They want to try a sample of it first. Do you have zero imagination? Chocolate fucking ice cream. It's chocolatey and cold. I don't want to be sad. Some people are much worse. They come inside and they're like, oh, is this the entrance to the coffee shop?
I'm in the coffee shop.
No, this is the entrance to the ballpark. I just did a home run. Come up to the counter and they look at me and they go, are you open? Just kind of let you think for a while. Make a decision. Order something. Okay, you know what? It's so weird. We're actually closed. Right, thank you so much.
Happy times! Here with Xander Bielek. We're just wrapping up. We both did stand-up at Siberia.
Oh my god, it was so fun.
But I think that you're mainly talking about narcissists at the coffee shop who just want to yap, you know, they want to, they need to talk to you. It's not just like, oh, I'm ordering drinks from you. This is also a full-fledged conversation. I'm going to torture you about my decision because my decision is really important, you know?
Yeah, and it's not, that their order has to be so particular and we have to engage in this entire, like, I want this experience of, like, ordering, you know, like, I don't get it, like,
if they get something that's not perfectly to their standards, is it going to ruin their day, their week, their life? Like, is it one, like, is it going to be completely terrible if it's not specifically to their requirements, or is it going to be...
How many oolong... Now, what drove me crazy about that thing, like, how many oolong teas do you have? They're just trying to say the biggest word on the fucking tea board to be like, pretend that it was there. That's the most obscure thing on the tea board. So that it's like, oh, the more obscure it is, that means it's better. Just like bands. It's like, oh, the more obscure this rock band is, the better it is, because nobody knows about it and only I. Because I don't do anything, I just select. I'm a tastemaker. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even do that joke with oolong tea if I knew how to pronounce, like, rooibos tea. Like, I don't, like, that's when I...
Oolong is pretty obscure.
Rooibos. Like, I don't know, it's like R-O-O-B-O-I-S. Or I don't think I'm spelling that right either, but... It's red. That red tea? Can I have the red tea? Yeah, here you go. That should be... it, you know.
Yeah. So being in the service industry is kind of painful for the poet, because the poet understands words. They understand when someone is being a complete fucking narcissist. It's super apparent to the poet. It's super apparent to the writer, because if you have to write a character in a play or portray a character in a play who is a complete sociopathic narcissist who only cares about themselves, maybe it's very apparent when people are using the word oolong to sound important even though they don't know what it means.
Yeah, I mean, it happens in poets with poets too, who have a... especially when they reference... I really hate it when I read poetry and it references another poet.
Yeah. I hate it in comedy when they reference movies.
I do it myself too, and it's not always bad, but sometimes it's like glaringly obvious that they just want to like throw out their like poetry expertise and throw...
Right. If someone is on stage and they're talking about movies, it's like, cool, but also you're doing a performance now and I want to see what you have to say. I could get that movie, but instead I'm here watching a stand-up. I don't give a fuck about your movie choices. There's a couple comics that just, well, one only that I'm thinking about, who just talks about obscure movies all the time. And it's like, oh, and then this scene, and then this scene. It's like, motherfucker, you're doing stand-up right now. Write jokes about your experience. And your experience is undeniable, but it will make you vulnerable. Some comics don't want to be vulnerable and talk about their own experience. They want to reference movies because that has a cognitive dissonance between their material and them. Right? And if you're a poet who's talking about other poets, there's a cognitive dissonance, which makes it so that you're not responsible for the material because you're just a reference jukebox.
Yeah, and I think like as far as my writing and performance and it ties into the witchcraft and everything, is that honesty, like being like honest about your experience and honest about, you know, not being brutally honest, like that point of, like, I'm airing my dirty laundry, you know, like once you do that, and once you're honest to the point where you're just incapable of bullshitting or lying, then, like, it not only makes it work so much better, like, writing and performing, it makes you psychic. Like if you have nothing to hide, you can receive more. Like if you put up this veil where you're hiding things, then that blocks your psychic.
You're saying you start to believe your own lies. You start to believe your own bullshit, and you brainwash yourself from the truth.
Yeah, and there's just like a cloud in front of you that you don't, that you can't read other people. You know, you can't, like if you're honest all the time, then you can tell when someone's lying to you immediately. You know, it's not, if you're someone who lives through lying and pretense, then you don't see that other people are doing that too, you know. I think it just makes you more psychic, makes you more like to psychically communicate with someone. There can be like no secrets. If you're trying to hide something, then that blocks your psychic like channel, you know. So you know, I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, Xander, I think that's why we are friends. Like, there's like a metaphysics to our friendship. There's like several levels, you know what I mean, of like human interaction. And I think that's why I like you, because when I talk to you, there's not pretense. When I talk to a lot of other comics in the scene, there's only pretense, especially the ones who only do the same material every time.
Mm-hmm.
If people are jukeboxes of their own material, they're doing the same 10 minutes over and over, they are the least psychic. They are the least aware, because they're just trying to perform a certain way and block off the rest of their infinite potential to perform a certain routine to be liked instead of to be honest. And I think that you're a very authentic person. I think that's why we get along so well, because we're, I don't know, maybe trauma, maybe bad parenting, maybe seeing through the fabric of everything. We're both kind of magicians, because we're always willing also to be wrong, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, no, and going up and, like, knowing that
you might suck.
I could do, like, good material that I've tried, and where I could just kind of like let shit happen and talk about what I want to talk about at the time, you know. It always, you know, like, I mean, tonight, you know, like, I didn't have I had a really terrible compliment. Someone came up to me and was like, yeah, your set was all right. That feels really bad.
Right.
That's a really shitty thing to say to someone. I was like, I talked about what I felt like talking about tonight, so I don't,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there was like the two people in the front row that were just eating it up, and like one girl talking to me after that, it's like, oh my god, the service industry jokes are so perfect.
No, well, you're being real. You're yeah. being real. You're not, you're like slowing down to a pace of, being interactive instead of being like inauthentic by just doing the same material that you've been doing for so long.
Yeah. And it was just that feel of the crowd tonight, that there was one group who were clearly there to see one person who were not engaged in the rest of the show whatsoever, except for like fleeting, you know. And then if I can tell people are just kind of like, you know, listening in, I'm not delivering these like one-liners that's going to suck them in. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so they're going to sit and not pay attention, and I'm going to tell jokes to the people who are. You know, like, I guess, I don't know. Maybe I need to, if it were, you know, if it weren't an open mic, and if it were, like, a booked show, and I had, like, a long set, then you have, like, room to work, but you got like 4 minutes, so I'm just gonna rather perform and deal with the people that are paying attention than the rest, you know, the group that isn't. If it's like a longer set, then I can like try and engage, you know, like, or not care. I don't know. But it was fun. It was fun. It's always fun.
But with you, there's zero pretension. And those are the only kind of people I'm interested in talking to, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not going to name names either, but I hear people say, like, you know, people people that like to gossip and talk shit about people that have like talk shit about you. And I'm like, this is exactly when I tune out, and this is exactly when I walk away, because I don't listen, you know, like everyone, and it's, you know, people talk shit about each other all the time, and I just don't care. And I'm like, actually, it's been one of the nicest people I've met.
Right. Like, but, you know, and like, every time someone doesn't like me, I'm like, let's talk. Let's only talk about why you don't like me, and let's talk. And that's when people block me.
Yeah, and it's like, so, and then all these people are like, yeah, we're great friends, like, in the comedy scene, but, like, our, you know, we're definitely not actually, like, really friends.
Right, right. And there's so many narcissists. That's what I'm really realizing. Yeah. I think, like, Facebook, Instagram, social media is, like, a programming of everyone just buys their own bullshit. Everyone becomes a cult of themselves. Everyone puts sexy pictures of themselves on Instagram and then feed off of the positive reinforcement, and then they don't give a fuck about the real people in their lives who are doing things for them or who are nice to them face to face, because it's like everyone wants to set up an automatic updating magazine of themselves, worshiping themselves, which I think is disgusting, and I just see that as pretentious. And it doesn't interest me. And it's very obvious to the enlightened psychics out there. So if you want to be psychic, what you have to do is remove your social media persona. What you have to do is be completely honest.
Yeah. And it, like in myself, I can tell like what hinders my own, like what I do, you know, like, because I do things that block myself. And, you know, you're always working on it. And sometimes you're open and your chakras are lit up and you're energetic and psychic and warm. And then sometimes you fall into shit that you're not proud of and you block yourself off. It's, it has their levels. Do you want me to recite a poem?
Yes, I do.
A poem?
Yes.
The poetry stuff?
Of course.
It's called Pan and the Nymph. It's a Greek poem. Pan found a nymph with the head of a lamb. He gazed his lusty eyes and cock. Please, my lass, I'd make you mine, but pridefully the lamb denied. You must be a lass that has an eye for laughs, said Pan, not to be a jilted man. I like men, but you're an ass, said the so Pan could see her can. Must you taunt me with thy glorious heap, he goat cried at the scornful sheep. Just go away, you libidinous creep, and into the forest she sheeply leaped. Too hot to trot, he goatly followed through shallow brambles and yellow land, thinking of the things he'd have her swallow and where to place his mate at hands. He found her near a rocky cliff where she had taken with a ram. The whiff of goat piss informed Pan that here stood Ares, the king of rams. Horns held high above his hide. Veins of blood crossed through his eyes. Manhood raged in all its pride towards the nymph who sat between his thighs. What is your business with my niece? Said Ares as he aimed his deadly horns. I wish to admire her soft white fleece, Pan said, thinking she would look quite nice and porn. The parts of Pan that were a goat would go chase fawn girls by a moat, but the parts of Pan that were a man bade him to wait and form a plan. That night when Ares mounted on his bride, through the forest the satyr sneaked, and deftly he jumped in for the ride when Ares rose to take a leap. The lamb kept on her venereal bleat, for she was nearly satisfied. But Pan felt no sweet friction on his meat. Ares had spread her thighs too wide.
Whoa. And what does that mean?
It's a poem about rape and incest. But that's like, I mean, but that's
an attraction.
It's, but that's a clear. But that's like what, you know, like Greek poetry and mythology was about.
Right.
My dad got really upset when it was published and he read it and he's like, I lived about it. And I was like, what are you gonna do?
Xander, I feel like 17% more psychic today after this interaction. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a comics like Jim Norton, comics like David Tell, who have zero filter. They just tell you exactly what they're thinking and what they've done, and they're not pretentious. They've uplifted me in a metaphysical way that I hadn't explained to myself. I haven't verbalized to myself before this conversation, so thank you for making me a little bit smarter.
Oh, I got a beat.
Xander Billick. Thank you, bud. It's been the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Later.